Thank you for standing by. This is the conference operator. Welcome to the Canaccord Resources conference call. As a reminder, all participants are in listen-only mode, and the conference is being recorded. After the presentation, there will be an opportunity to ask questions. To join the question queue, you may press star and one on your telephone keypad. Should you need assistance during the conference call, you may signal an operator by pressing star and zero. I would now like to turn the conference over to Carolyn Khilafy-Chlewski, Canaccord CEO. Please go ahead.
Thank you so much, and thank you everyone for participating on our call today. It's been a while since we have organized a teleconference, but despite facing one of the most difficult markets we've seen for many years, I'm pleased to say that Canaccord was able to achieve some important milestones, which I'll be sharing with you today. In today's call, we'll be making forward-looking statements, so I want to caution everyone about the risk associated with that. With me here in Vancouver today, I also have Brad Cook, who probably all of you know is Canaccord's founder and chairman. I also have our president, Mr. Gary Baas, who has been in charge to lead the efforts currently undergoing the technical work on the Mexican project. And all of us will be available to answer your questions after my presentation. I'll try to keep the presentation very brief in order to allow ample time for everyone to ask questions after my presentation. As previously announced, since late 2015, Canaccord's main focus has considerably shifted towards advancing the company from exploration into producer with the acquisition of a fully permitted project in Mexico. With the El Compas acquisition complete, we can now take advantage of our extensive in-house mine operating experience, both at the senior management and at the board level, as we are working to transition the company into a cash flow generating company. The acquisition of El Compas was completed as planned during October 2015 at a very attractive price for Canaccord shareholders and in what was one of the most difficult markets we've seen. Well before the acquisition closed, we started to advance the project forward in a concrete and meaningful way, and I'm pleased to report that we have been able to achieve what we've been able to achieve in today's call. We have essentially made three significant and concrete steps forward after the El Compas acquisition has completed as follows. First thing we've done, we've engaged an experienced engineering company, Mining Plus Consultants, to complete a brand new 43-101 resource and a detailed PEA report, which we have reported on today. Second thing we managed to do was to secure the support from the local government of Zacatecas for leasing an existing fully permitted processing plant that will act as a processing facility for our El Compas project and also will act as a processing facility for the local miners in Zacatecas. We've been very fortunate to work with a team of experienced and professional local government officials in Zacatecas. I want to take this opportunity to thank the Zacatecas government and the local miners for their confidence and support during all this process. Third, in an effort to prepare the company for production, we've begun to strengthen our management team and have recently appointed an experienced local general manager for our Mexican operation, who is already starting to make a difference at the project. Now I would like to talk to you about the key PEA results. All the numbers will be, of course, in US dollars. The PEA is based on $1,100 gold price and $14 silver price, which are very close to what the prices of the metals are today. But keep in mind, those are used over the life of the project, which is about 7 years. We want to really demonstrate that at today's metal prices, at even lower metal prices, the project remains robust, and I think we've been able to demonstrate that. Moving on to the details, the total cash cost for producing 1 ounce of gold at El Compas is estimated at approximately $523 on gold equivalent ounce, and all-in sustaining cost about $614. This represents a very low cost of production and should place the project on a very low cost curve when compared to other gold projects in production today. And also when you look at the current prices, I think it's a very nice margin to have at the project. This low cost will allow the project to be highly economical, not only on the current metal prices, but also on any downward prices that we may see in the gold price going forward, which we don't believe is going to happen, but if it does, you know, the project remains economical. The annual production from the project is estimated at about 18,000 ounces of gold equivalent, with most of the revenue coming from gold. With the additional ore that we expect to purchase from the local miners, we'll be targeting to produce about 20,000 ounces of gold per year. Based on the current updated resource, which we released last week, the project's mine life is estimated about 7 years at a run rate of about 450 tons a day. Milling will be done using a local mining contractor under our direct supervision to ensure an efficient mining of the deposit. By using a mining contractor, we are reducing the upfront mining capital cost significantly, and we are also reducing or even eliminating much of the training efforts needed when compared to using a company mining crew. In Zacatecas, we are very fortunate to have many choices of skilled mining contractors and a lot of skilled mining people. The mineralized material will be tracked 20 kilometers from the project, the government-owned La Plata process plant, on which we have secured a long-term lease option with the Zacatecas government. The processing will involve crushing, grinding, gravity, flotation, followed by leaching on the flotation of the concentrate. We are planning to build a 50-ton-a-day leach plant, which will have a Merrill-Crowe circuit, in order to maximize revenue and be able to produce a dore bar on site. Moving on to the project's economics, the project's NPV using a 5% rate discount, is about $48.3 million before taxes, and about $32.9 million after taxes. The project yields a very robust annualized IRR of about 102% before taxes and 84.3% after taxes, using, again, a 5% discount. The total pre-production capital expenditures, including contingencies, estimated about $7.6 million, and the payback period would be under 2 years at current metal prices. Now, moving on to moving the project into production, from when the financing completes, we expect that in about 6 months, we would be finishing up the construction of the project, mainly would be the mine development. And within 9 months, would be a steady-state production of about 450 tons a day. Now, with the PDA study complete, we have turned our focus to arranging the capital financing needed to develop this attractive project, and we are really keen to place this in production during 2016. Discussions with several groups have already been initiated, and we will be intensifying these efforts over the following weeks. We are anticipating that the bulk of the financing will be done at the project level with a small equity offering component in order to limit shareholder dilution. And I think that concludes my presentation today. I would like now to turn the floor open for questions. Operator, please open up for questions.
We will now begin the question and answer session. To join the question queue, you may press star, then one on your telephone keypad. You will be required to record your name at the tone. Please speak slowly and clearly so that you are correctly introduced into the call when it is your turn to speak. If you are using a speakerphone, please pick up your handset before pressing any keys. To withdraw your question, please press star, then two. We will pause for a moment as callers join the queue and have their names transcribed. Thank you for your patience. Our first question is from Tom Calandra. Please go ahead.
Hi, Catalin. How are you doing, Brad? Hey, real quick. So again, can you remind me what is the average? What are the average silver and gold costs you're using in this?
Gold prices.
Yeah.
So Tom, thanks for dialing in. We are using $1,100 gold and $14 silver, and we are using those prices over 7 year mine life. So we are not anticipating in the PEA any upside in the metal prices. We are also providing a sensitivity analysis, and you'll have give you an idea why the project is worth at higher prices and of course lower prices too. The project remains robust even at $900, and of course it's highly robust at prices above $1,100.
Mm-hmm. Now this is kind of a small, manageable project. Do you have what's your confidence level in terms of raising money, getting this thing actually off the ground without too much dilution?
Sure. I mean, Tom, I strongly believe this is a right project for this time. You know, this is a project that makes money at current prices, makes a nice return, does not require a lot of money to get going. We are talking in the range of $8 million now. It's fully permitted on both ends, which basically reduces the risks considerably. if you look at the actual mining, it's all the ore bodies within 150, about 200 meters, up to 200 meters from surface. So it's not very deep, which does not require then a lot of development. The resource itself, it's about two-thirds in the indicated category, which again further reduces the risk. So with that in mind, you know, and going back to our network of people, we believe that we can get it financed. Of course, it's always a risk, but we already have initiated discussions with some groups which have expressed keen interest to talk to us about financing. And, you know, with our track record, we believe we can do it. It remains to be seen, but we feel very confident that we will do it.
And the last one, you know, the mill, and
yes.
Which you've press released and
yes.
Seen. I mean, how critical is this, and could there be extra business if we see any turnaround in the business of the sale of gold and silver? Can we see extra business by the company controlling the mill right outside Zacatecas?
Absolutely, Tom. I mean, I can tell you that, you know, and I can remind everyone that the agreement with the government is that we will be obligated to process local miners' ore up to about 20% of the capacity, which is roughly about 100 tons a day. We have met with the local miners there, and, you know, they are still producing at these prices. They got some really nice deposits around. Any of that revenue, additional revenue, is not even included in the PA because we cannot include it at this stage. We don't have the basis to put a number on it. We strongly believe, you know, that there's going to be upside potential from that processing facility. And on top of that, that facility is very large. I think you've had the chance to see it firsthand. It allows for the project to grow very easily. Right? So,
thank you.
We you know, we are very optimistic on its future potential.
Okay.
But we want to walk before we run, for sure. We want to get this project done, start, you know, the way we said we're going to start, and then grow from there.
Thank you.
The next question is from Bhakti Pavani. Please go ahead.
Good morning, guys.
Morning, Bhakti.
Quick question. Could you maybe please remind us on what kind of grades for gold and silver are we looking at here?
Sure, I'll turn it over to Gary Bass. He can give you an idea of the grades.
Yeah, the average gold grade is 3.9 grams, and the average silver grade is 46.3 grams.
And those would be mine grades.
That's right, mine-diluted grades.
Mine-diluted grades, right? So they will be lower than the average resource grade, right? Because there is a difference between the resource and what you can mine.
Mm-hmm. Well, definitely, looking at the economics, this is certainly an exciting project, you know, and it's profitable at the current gold and silver prices, which is more important. Just kind of curious, I remember the last time we spoke about, and at that time, you guys had planned to process 500 tons per day, but now you are thinking about 450. So what made you change that?
Sure. I mean, the reason for that decrease is that we want to allow room for processing local miners' ore. You know, we've allowed for about 10% based on the discussions we've had with the local miners. We do not believe that they have enough ore available for 100 tons a day, which would put the mine to 400 tons, our mine. So we left it at 450 for that reason, to allow spare capacity in the existing configuration to process additional feed.
Oh, okay. So in case if you don't have enough, is there room that you guys can process more of your ore so that you meet the 500 tons per day?
Hi, Bhakti. It's Brad here. The idea is to be a little bit conservative in our model. But clearly, with the plant capacity at 500 tons per day, what we're doing is reserving 50 tons per day for small miners to bring their ore and for us to either purchase it or custom process it. However, I think that in the current metal price environment, there's not a whole lot of small miners that are going to bring their ore to the plant. So if they don't, that capacity is there for us. And so it is possible for us to do more than 450 tons per day.
Perfect. Okay. Also, would you mind elaborating on the CapEx spend, the $8 million that you are intending to spend?
Sure. I mean, Gary can provide you the breakdown of the of those.
Yeah, basically the biggest chunk of that is going to go into the process plant. We have to do some repairs on the plant, which is just under $1 million. Replace some equipment, some missing equipment, and upgrade the electrical system. And then we have to add a small leach circuit. It's only a 50-ton per day leach process and a Miracle-Pro system for leaching the concentrate. That's about $3.9 million total in the plant. And then there's the underground development, which is just under $2 million. And, of course, some pre-operation mining and setup on surface. That's just about $1.8 million. So, the total is about $7.6 million that we've identified we need to spend. And then we've got about another $500,000 in working capital.
Okay. And what kind of, target date what's the plan for production? I know it depends upon, how quickly you can raise money, but what kind of timeline are you looking at?
Sure. I mean, Bhakti, we've already begun discussions with groups, and, we'll be doing even more starting today, of course. The ideal scenario here would be that a financing package would have been agreed on by the end of March, and then be in a position to start making improvements at the plant either late April or the latest early May. That would be, the current plan. And I think based on our initial feedback with the people we are talking, it's probably achievable. But we will definitely provide more updates as things progress going forward. We don't want to overpromise anything. I mean, we will do everything we can to get it done as soon as we can possibly do it. We've made a lot of efforts already that would allow us to deliver on that. The fact that we've been able to complete the PA in such a short time, it's because we've started early. The fact that we've been engaging with the government many months ago, we are now in a position where we are. So we made advances, and we believe this plan will be achievable.
Okay, perfect. Sounds good. Just last one from me. Any kind of permitting that needs to be done and that was contingent upon the completion of PEA study?
Not really. I mean, both the mine and the mill is fully permitted. There is a question right now to be answered whether we need to amend the mill permit because we are going to add the cyanide circuit. Initial feedback is we don't need to because of the fact that we're using cyanide destruction, so it'll be a closed system with cyanide destruction, so the tailings would be within acceptable standards. But even if there's going to be slight permit and adjustments needed, the fact that the mill belongs to the government means that the permits will be on their name, and they've already indicated strong support for doing that. And keep in mind there is a 6 month period to develop the mine, which would allow time for any possible amendments in the permits.
Okay, perfect, Sam. Sounds good. Thank you very much. That's it from my side.
As a reminder, if you would like to ask a question, please press star, then one, and record your name at the tone. The next question is from Matt Geiger from MJG Capital. Please go ahead.
Hey, good morning, guys. How's it going?
Good, Matt. Good. Thanks for dialing in.
Absolutely. That was good to hear the update. Quick question on discount rate. Can you guys justify using the 5% rate? A lot of companies that I've seen in your ballpark are closer to 8 to 10%. I see you broke it down, but it only goes up to 7%.
Yes. I mean, we for the purpose of the news release, we've went up and down from 5% up to 7%. We can easily provide more details for you if you want a 10 to see how it looks. It still remains economical. Of course, it drops, but it's just picking a point, right? We went from 5 to 7 and then from 5 to 3. But we can easily provide it an overview of 8 or 10 if you want.
Okay. That's awesome. We're also seeing a lot of, I guess, follow-up question, a lot of consolidation in the space. Do you have any thoughts on recent deals, and could we see anything with you guys before any financing decision, or are you purely focused on getting this project to production first? You could potentially pick up some cash and some select opportunities in Mexico currently.
Absolutely. I mean, look, the fact that we've done this acquisition, if you look at the fundamentals of this acquisition, it's highly accretive to our shareholders. You know, we effectively diluted the company by 10%, and we've added a fully permitted mine and project which could transform the company into a producer. So we have our eyes wide open for acquisition. I think the way we look at this right now is we want to really put this into production over the next few months here to really get the premium that a producer would deserve. We already have our list ready, and we are every day talking to people. But, you know, we want to get this project done before we do anything else. I'll let also Brad chip into this. I think he wants to say a few things.
Hi, Matt. So your question basically begs a couple of other questions. In terms of sourcing financing, we've had good expressions of interest for debt. But as you point out, there are also companies out there in our sector, maybe with some cash and not near as robust a project as we have. So that's another consideration for financing the project. And then from the true acquisition point of view, I think the first order of business after the mine is up and running is to look within the district at stranded resources that will never be developed on their own, but could be trucked to a common plant. And we can think of three or four opportunities like that in Zacatecas. So that would be probably our first focus in terms of acquisitions.
Okay. That sounds like a pretty reasonable plan. And that also answered the follow-up question I have about extending life of mine. Sounds like you already have your eyes on some local areas that could do just that.
Okay. Thank you.
The next question is from Robert Mohowski. Please go ahead.
Kathleen, Brad, good morning to you. Congratulations on your PEA this morning. It's outstanding numbers. Can you just give me a recap, please, on the annual production you're looking at, gold equivalent?
Sure, Robert. I mean, thanks for dialing in. Based on the 400 tons a day run rate, we will be producing about 18,000 ounces of gold equivalent a year. Mostly gold, as I said before, about 90% gold. With additional feed that we think is reasonably going to come from local miners, we'll be targeting 20,000 ounces of gold equivalent a year. So those are the starting numbers.
Okay, fantastic. And I think I'm kind of leading on from the last question, funny enough. The seven-year mine life, when we get down to this, how much... What do you think we'll be able to get out of this once we start really picking holes in it?
Like, you mean if 7 years is realistic or not, or this, would that be your question? Or
whether you can expand it.
We can expand.
How about we can expand it? I mean, Robert, look, I think one mention I want to make here, the existing resource, it's limited for a reason. It's by design. This is because... You know, Marlin Gold, who we now have as our largest shareholder and a very good partner, have spent a limited amount of money historically on the project to get the project permitted. You know, they really want to get the project permitted so they get, you know, a robust project. And with that in mind, they needed to define a resource. But they didn't want to spend a lot of money doing that. So they've made, you know, about 158 holes, I think, on the project, defining what now is, you know, roughly 200 million ounces of gold equivalent in resources. 200,000 ounces of gold equivalent in resources. And they've stopped there, right? There is strong indication by talking to geologists and by us looking carefully at the data, and Brad has actually spent time at the project there, that a lot of upside exists in the current resource. And, you know, we are highly optimistic about that. We can't bank on it, but that will be the immediate target. You know, it's right there. One other interesting thing, these deposits typically, they are very deep and they are high-grade silver. The project we have in front of us, it's mostly narrow and it's mostly gold. It's so unusual. The previous guys that explored the project have done two deep holes. One they lost, and the second one hit at about 500 meters high-grade silver. but confirm the theory and this additional work for us to follow up on.
Excellent. Well,
and
I think
on top of that, you know, we have about 3,000 hectares of claims, and some of those areas have either historic mining, holes that have mineralization, or very good potential, right? So we'll be busy for a while once we get this project started, and there is upside potential for sure.
Catherine, Brad, thank you very much. I think it answers my questions. I've written all these loads of notes here. Once again, congratulations. I look forward to talking to you all soon.
Thank you so much, Robert.
Once again, if you would like to ask a question, please press star, then one. The next question is from Malcolm Gissen. Please go ahead.
Morning, gentlemen, and congratulations again. This is a project that seems well-suited for the times we are living in. A couple of my questions were asked already, but I did have a couple of others. In terms of the fundraising, are you starting a prospectus now? How soon can we expect to hear from you in terms of the equity raise? That's the first question.
Yes, thanks, Malcolm, for dialing in. I can tell you that I will be on the road as early as in the next 10 days, and of course Brad will also roll up his sleeves and open up his Rolodex. You should expect to hear some concrete details about the financing probably during February, probably mid-February. I don't think we are planning at this stage to the prospectus offering. We will probably look at a small equity offering to get things started. There is some, you know, things that require a little bit of cash to keep the timeline intact, and then look at the bulk of the financing to come from a project-based financing. And I'll let Brad say a few words of what he has in mind or what he's got his thoughts on regarding this financing.
Good morning, Malcolm. How are you?
Terrific, Brad. When I read the press release this morning.
So, as I mentioned earlier, we have already received some pretty good expressions of interest from lenders, and the robust economics of this project lend itself to project-only finance. So, secured financing, certainly, debt financing, but secured only by the project. And no guarantees, but especially in this market, but the expressions of interest are there, and now they need to be followed up in the next month.
And they will not require that you have an equity component to the fundraising?
Well, of course, different expressions view the project differently. Most lenders do prefer to lay off a bit of risk and see the company raise a bit of equity. But I have had probably one of my top priority candidates say that they would fully fund with debt because it's just not a lot of money. Right? It's just not a lot of money.
Yeah, it's an exceptional project in that respect. In terms of labor, you indicated you're going to contract the labor. Have you been interviewing companies to line that up? And I assume that's what's built into your projection costs.
Absolutely, Malcolm. We've spent a lot of time in Mexico. In the PEA, during the PEA process, we've interviewed a total of 6 mining contractors. And, you know, we've picked the one we think is most suitable for this project for the purpose of the PEA. With the addition of the general manager last week, we are now interviewing even more mining contractors. You know, the good thing about this whole doom and gloom in the mining space is now there is a choice of good people and good, operators, and we can get all of this at a discount. You know, the fact that we've been able to actually attract such an experienced general manager and at a very attractive rate, it's in itself a good thing for the project. You know, this guy has a fantastic track record. He's built La Negra mine in Mexico from an 800 tons a day care and maintenance operation to a 3,300 tons a day, one of the lowest cost producers of underground mining in Mexico, all from organic cash flow, and he was there for about 8 years. And we are fortunate that the company changed hands in terms of ownership, now belongs to Orion Mine Finance, and a lot of people have been let go. So I've worked with him for about 2.5 years, and I know him. So we've been attracting some really good talents, and I think as we move forward, time is perfectly aligned for us because we can pick from the best.
That's great to hear. My final question. I assume that you're totally focused on getting this mine into production, hopefully by the end of this year, that any additional drilling would wait until 2017, or do you think you may have funds to spend some money on expanding the resource?
Malcolm, I think our ideal plan right now is that we'll be raising $10 million, not $8 if terms are right, and then use about $2 million in additional exploration, because we do feel very confident about the potential. If terms are more expensive, or, you know, it becomes harder, we would raise $8 million, we get going, and then we already have some drilling planned within the current mine plan that would allow us to slightly expand the resource, possibly.
Okay. Thank you again to your team. Those long, patient shareholders that have hung in here with you are delighted to see this progress that you're making and look forward to a tremendous 12-month period.
Thank you so much, Malcolm, for your confidence and your patience, and to all the shareholders for their patience. I know it's been a painful ride, you know, to get something finally done with Canark, and, you know, we are committed to get this done right, and I think we have the fundamental things to allow us to achieve that.
That's what we want to hear. Now do it.
Thanks, Malcolm.
Thanks.
There are no more questions at this time. I would like to turn the conference back over to Carolyn Kilofliski, Canark CEO. Please go ahead.
Thank you so much, operator, and thanks again to everyone that took time today to participate in our call. As always, I would invite everyone that has questions and want to talk to us about the project to get in touch with us directly. My email address is actually inside the news release. It's the first name, Catalin@canark.net. Feel free to get in touch with me directly. I want to thank everyone for your interest and for your support, and we'll make a commitment to keep you updated as we move this project forward. Thanks again. Bye-bye.
This concludes today's conference call. You may disconnect your lines. Thank you for participating, and have a pleasant day.